There is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Thank you, Lord. I will try to share a little. And once our time is up, we'll close. Amen. Man of God, thank you. Were you blessed on Sunday? Have you gone back to listen to that sermon? Even me that preached, I went back and I have been so blessed. God is up to something, right? I don't think if you listen to that sermon, you can be confused about what faith is, at least on a basic level. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, remember we talked about faith is agreeing with God even when it doesn't make sense to your natural mind. And then we began to talk about faith in salvation. And then we went to faith in consecration. And then we began to talk about faith in the miraculous. Is it rain that is falling? Okay, the rain has started falling, right? The rain of the Spirit. Glory. Amen. Today, I want to talk about something, but it is obvious to me that I cannot finish. You know, there are topics you take as a pastor, and then when you are doing the topic, or when you are breaking down the topic from your spirit, it just dawns on you that, this thing is a lot. Like, I should have picked this topic, but we'll try. Are you with me? So I've titled it The God of Miracles. Glory. An apologia for charismatic faith. Now, let me explain all the big English. What is an apologia? An apologia is a formal defense of an opinion, a position or action. Amen. The weight of glory will soon cover up. Amen. Praise God. Fear not. Praise the Lord. Or should we round off? Hallelujah. So, what did we say an apologia is? An apologia is a formal defense of an opinion, a position, or an action. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, let's say it together. What's an apologia? A formal defense of an opinion, a position, or action. So, this apologia is where you get apologetics from. Are you with me? Where we talk about Christian apologetics, defense of the Christian faith. In the same way, from time to time, we have to defend our position. For everything we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a proper defense for it. Are you with me? You see, there is a growing movement around the world that denies the faith that produces miracles. If you have been on social media, at least for the last 1 or 2 years, you should know what I'm talking about, right? There is a growing movement around the world that is losing faith in the God of miracles. In fact, there are testimonies you share, and people say, why you did lamba? And by lamba, they mean, why you lying? You know, there was a time, a certain charismatic group in this country, their testimonies were going viral, and people were like, these guys can lie. What kind of lie is that? But you see, that proved to me. Now, I'm not here to defend whether their testimonies were right, were verified or not. That's not my reason for this. But the way the public response was to those viral testimonies proved to me that we are living in a generation that if we are not careful, we are going to kill the move of God before we even see it. See, if you read history and if you really read the Bible, many of the things that happen in the Bible are scary. They are scary. In fact, I dare say in your Christian life, at least twice, you should see things that are beyond your human mind. If not, at some point, when you start growing old, you start doubting everything. You will start doubting everything. If you are really growing, and if you will really grow, you must see things that will make you say, ah, hey, this one is beyond me, oh, ah, this one. There are some testimonies I cannot share because people will say, Lamba. You know, there was something when I was in the university. You know, young people, we are the crucible for revival. There was a time we were praying. We prayed and prayed. I was in 100 level. But so, and the hand of God has been on me then. So I got there and gathered my friends and we started praying. We prayed and prayed and prayed to the point where there were some things that if I say now, some of you will not agree. If I say them now, some of you will just say, oh, we have heard you. Ah. What will you say? Okay, let me, what will you say about, if I say this once, you will not agree. Well, I will try. Let me try. You are in your hall, there are 4-story buildings for the hostels. And then, you are trying to catch up with assembly or class or something, or chapel service. And then you dress up when you are done with the bedroom. When you are done in your dressing room or in the meeting room, you see yourself at the door. And people saw you disappear. Okay, stop. I can feel it already, Pastor. Just go to the word. Just go to the word. We agree. Just go to the word. Even this thing about miracle money. You will never hear me preach about it because, praise the Lord. Even if it's about miracle money, you will not really hear me preach about it because I know that some people's faith cannot take it. Do I believe in miracle money? Yes and no. Yes, because God can do all things. No, because you don't want to train God's people to embrace fraud. Are you with me? Okay, let's leave this discussion. Let's go. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, there's a growing movement around the world that denies the faith that produces miracles. And for them, the move of the Holy Spirit to produce miracles in the life of the Christian is based on the sovereignty of God. So, it is that if God wants to do it, He will do it. Are you with me? If He does not want to do it, it will just be. What shall be, shall be. And the point of this sermon, which obviously I cannot finish, is that there is a place of faith in the life of the believer that will produce miracles. Do you understand? That we have a part to play in the reproduction of miracles in our life. Are you with me? That we have a... See, you have to embrace it that there is a part you can play. It is true that God is sovereign. But there is a part man can play and there is a part man should play in the production of miracles. Amen. Now, I'm going to say some things that some of you have not heard before. You know, there are some groups. Some of them call themselves cessationists. Have you heard that term before? Cessationists. So they believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased after Jesus and the apostles. Some of them, they call themselves Calvinists and, there's a long explanation of theological framework for that. But one of their many beliefs is that all those powerful moves of God and everything are done. Some of them, they call themselves the Reformed Brethren. And in many other areas, they are correct theologically. There are so many other things they get right. But on this one, if we don't fight for it, you will not see it. Are you with me? I am talking about it because I know. See, when the Bible says, be it unto you according to thy faith, what does that mean? It means that if you counsel out your faith on certain things, you will not see it. Are you with me? When the Bible says, be it unto you according to thy faith, hallelujah. So because of time, I will have to jump. Now, I don't know which one I will take, which one I will lose. Okay, I'll try. So let me start like this. There is a difference between what we call charismatic faith and salvific faith. Let me say it again. Charismatic faith and salvific faith. Are you with me? What is salvific faith? It is the faith required for a person to be saved. The faith in God required for a person to be saved. And for that to happen, there is something specific the person must believe. You must believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. You must believe that Jesus is God and Savior for you to be saved. And how is that different from charismatic faith? Charismatic faith is the belief in God, or the faith in God, that he can perform miracles, that he can do signs and wonders. And the reason why there is a difference is because it is possible for you to believe that God can save. Are you with me? And you have not yet accepted that God can heal. Have you seen people like that? It is also possible to believe that God can heal, but you have not trusted him for salvation. For instance, years ago, Bishop Wale Oke was talking about how one time in Ibadan, they had one powerful crusade, and there were so many Muslims that had their blind eyes opened. And after the crusade, they went to evangelize to them and bring them back. Like, come to church, come and hear the word of God. You should be saved. Go see what Jesus did for you. Do you know what one of them said? She said, they told me Jesus can open my eye. I came, he opened my eye. They did not say I must I become a Christian? Are you seeing this? So, she received faith for healing, but not faith for salvation. For a person to be saved, you have to believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. You have to put faith in him as Savior. You must surrender to him as God. Are you with me? And so, there is a tendency in the church to go to either of the extremes. There are some people, like I just gave, they are in church, but they have not really surrendered to God as Savior. They've not really believed in Jesus as God. Do you know that there are Christians who come to church, but they don't know that Jesus is God? They still argue that Jesus is God. And you cannot be saved except you surrender to his Lordship. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8. Let's read this. Romans 10 from verse 8. Romans 10 from verse 8. It says, but what saith the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. Everybody read verse 9 with me. 1, 2, 3, go. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you seeing this? Then in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you seeing this here? So in the context of this verse, the word of faith here is the message that brings salvation. Are you with me? If you go to verse 17 of this chapter, Romans chapter 10, you will see him say, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith that cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God is the gospel. Are you with me? Wait. Is there anybody who is confused? Romans 10. You will see let's start from verse 13. Or, you know what, let's just continue from where we stopped. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Read on with me. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody, verse 14 now. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you seeing that when he says faith cometh by hearing, the context is the gospel preached for salvation? Are you getting this? So this is the context of salvific faith. Faith in God to be saved. But the problem now that I have with many of these Christian sects is that they believe that currently all that God offers is salvation. Are you with me? And that any other thing outside salvation, we are just trying to deceive ourselves. That God is not really in the business of miracles. God is not really in the business of healing the sick. He's all about his sovereignty. And that there is nothing we can do to get anything from God. Are you with me? And so, my defense is for charismatic faith. First of all, the Bible says, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If that is true, it means that if people expressed faith in him while he was on earth for healing, for deliverance, for provision, people can also still express faith in him for healing, for deliverance, for provision. Does that make simple sense? Now, let me tell you why many of them came to this conclusion. They came to this conclusion because there were times when they expressed their faith and it did not seem to work. And so, in order not to be disappointed, they wanted to play safe theology. Are you with me? They say, when you don't have any expectations, you cannot be disappointed. Are you getting this? So, in order to craft a theology that will not put us on the edge to be trusting God for something that we are not sure if he will give, let us just agree that the only thing we are sure of is salvation. Who can relate to what I'm saying? Maybe they went to pray for the sick and the person did not recover. Maybe they trusted God for something and it did not happen. And then they just conclude that, you know what? And then they find so many scriptures to explain and explain and explain the way they will tell you it's about the time, Jesus' time, it's because Jesus was God. Then they will explain he gave special power to the apostles. And when the apostles died, all of those gifts ceased. And when you ask them again, they say the reason why God gave them those powers was to confirm the word of God. And now that the canon of the scripture is closed, there is no need for any supernatural confirmation of the word of God because the word of God is complete. I'm saying this thing because very soon you will meet somebody that will ask you these questions. Are you following me? But the Bible says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Satan, may Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say it again. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory! I'll have to round up as soon as possible. Secondly, I discovered from the Bible that we theologians, many times, we try to mix things up, or let me put it like this, we try to separate the word of God in such a way that it can be confusing. For instance, all the things I'm saying now, there are some of you that have never heard about it before. They are the evangelicals, they are the Presbyterians, they are the Baptists. In fact, they even claim that there is a difference between the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. Are you with me? So there are so many theological terms that we can use and they can all sound confusing. But you see, when I studied the Bible, I discovered that even though we try to separate charismatic faith from salvific faith, the Bible doesn't separate it that way. The Bible believes that the man who can see God move in a miraculous way ought to have the same faith for salvation. And the man who can have faith in salvation ought to have faith for miracles. Are you with me? Let me show you from the Bible. We'll do this and then we'll just close. Romans chapter 4. Oh, precious Jesus. Please, who understands what I'm talking about? Or you get the framework of what I'm trying to talk about? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4 from verse 1. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. For what said the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Pause. I want to ask you, what is he talking about here? Righteousness, right? So he's talking about righteousness before God and salvation, right? But if you remember the story of Abraham, what was he believing God for? What was Abraham believing God for? A son, a child. Abraham was not really believing God as, oh Lord, I want you to save me from my sin. Are you with me? It was not as though Abraham was believing God for salvation in Christ. He did not even understand what was really going on. All he knew was that God called him out of the land of his nativity. Come out and I will make your name great. Are you with me? Does that not sound like what we may be preaching as, oh, word of faith, God will make you great. God will, are you with me? I'm believing God for a child. God will give you a child. He was believing God for a child. And the Bible said, Abraham believed God and God accounted unto him for righteousness. How is that possible? Also, before I come back to this, there's so much to teach you. Before I come back to this, remember when God told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To Abraham, what he was thinking was just, you know, okay, through my child, there will be blessings for everybody. But it is Apostle Paul that comes and tells us in Galatians 3 that when God said, in thy seed, God was prophetically speaking about Christ. Are you with me? That the same way Abraham had that Isaac as one child, also Jesus will be that one seed in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So, in essence, God was preaching the gospel to Abraham in a picture. Please, are you with me? I'm sorry I'm a little fast because time is... But let me show you more. And this is where we'll close. Look at Romans chapter 4 from verse 17. We'll read all down to verse 22. And then we'll close. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in... Come, it's like I'm the only one reading. It's not on the screen. Okay. Everybody, verse 19, let your voice be louder because, you know, the rain is started falling. The rain of glory, right? Verse 19, 1, 2, 3, go. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Verse 24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Are you seeing the way he's juggling between charismatic faith and moving into salvific faith? He's not separating them. He's saying that just the same way Abraham believed God for a child and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, we also, we will believe God that raised Jesus from the dead. Are you with me? And we will receive the same righteousness that Abraham received. Now, let me explain why Abraham believed God for Isaac and was accounted unto him for righteousness. So now, let's assume. Come. You are Abraham. I am God. Are you with me? Holy Spirit, they will get it in Jesus' name. Father, they will get it in Jesus' name. So, have you ever done courses in the university or secondary school? And maybe when you're about to enter the university, they will say, did you do use of English? You've done use of English, Abi, in JAMB. And then, if you are going to schools abroad, they will say things like, those of you who are into trying to get admission abroad, or you've written all those exams like AELTS, TOEFL. There are some schools abroad that will say, if you did use of English in JAMB, and English was the language you used to learn in Nigeria, you will not need to write an English test again. Are you with me? You know what they are doing? They believe that if you have used English to learn, and you did use of English in JAMB, you already qualify to understand English in their university. So what God was saying is that if Abraham can believe me for Isaac, are you with me? Yes, if Abraham can believe me and trust me to receive a son, he has already demonstrated the way people will trust me for salvation. Yes, are you with me? So the same way people in the future will trust in Christ for salvation, Abraham trusted in God for Isaac. And God said it is only logical to give him the righteousness that they will also receive. Is that making sense? Yes, so that's why God said Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I thought we were supposed to receive righteousness after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now hold this thought. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How will people in the Old Testament be saved? They did not know about Jesus. They did not. They were not there to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died for me. So what God did was, God will preach to them based on whatever they are trusting him for. The way they respond to the message that God is giving to them is the same way God knows that they will respond when the gospel is going to be preached. So, are you getting what I'm saying, Seth? Yes, Pastor. Yes, sir. So the Old Testament saints were saved by their response to the message from God for whatever they are believing God for. So as it were, we theologians say it like this. The Old Testament saints were saved by what Christ would do in a picture. But we are saved by what Christ has done. Yes, are you with me? Yes, so if Abraham rejected what God was offering, in the same way, God would have logically calculated that if he was in this generation, he would also reject. I know it may, is it confusing? Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to show you is that charismatic faith and salvific faith, they are not separate the way we try to separate them. God believes that if you can trust him for salvation, you can trust him for your healing. If you can trust him for salvation, you can trust him for your deliverance. If you can trust him for salvation, you can trust him for any other thing. And in the same way, if you can receive healing from him, you also have received a token of salvation. Are you with me? This is why when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, he just raised up Lazarus from the dead and started preaching, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Because he believed that if these guys can accept that I am the one that raised Lazarus from the dead, they can also accept me as their savior. Yes, sir. Are you getting it? So, when I hear Reformed people, Calvinist people, cessationists try to separate it that, no, we just, in fact, there are some strict Reformed people that say there are only three miracles in the Bible. There are only three miracles that God has performed for us to receive. Number one, the incarnation. Number two, the resurrection. Number three, salvation. That every other miracle is just a coincidence. Say after me, I believe in the God of miracles. Package your offerings as we close. Obviously, there is more to teach. There is more to say, but
Say after me, I believe in the God of miracles.